one day Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Sunday. Happy New Year's. Welcome to 2023 and welcome to the very first NTEB Sunday service for the new year. My name is Pastor Jeff Greider, and I am very glad that you have chosen to worship with us today. Today, I'd like to talk to you about holding the line as we await our orders to depart on Flight 777, something that could possibly take place in 2023. We are the last generation before the pre-tribulation rapture of the church takes place, and that's an event that will send this world spiraling downward into the time of Jacob's trouble. That is an awesome thought to contemplate and meditate on, but with that honor of being the generation that will see the rapture comes an inherent responsibility to hold the line until being relieved of our duty. The judgment seat awaits, and there is no opting out as the battle rages on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Paul says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, let me ask you a question, Christian. If the rapture was today, if it literally was today, how do you want to go up? Do you want to go up to meet the Lord in the clouds as someone who lived their life for themselves or for others? Do you want to go up as somebody who took the gifts that God gave you for his glory, but instead gave them to the world for your glory? Do you want to go up as somebody rich in earthly treasure but bankrupt in the heavenly currency of awarded crowns? When you boil it all down, what did people like Tyndale, Whitfield, Moody, Spurgeon, Sheffy, Sunday, Larkin, and Ruckman really do during their time here on earth? If you had to condense all that God used those men for into just four little words, what do you think that might be? Well, I think the answer is they held the line. On this first Sunday service of 2023, I want to bring you a message on fourth quarter Christians who are called to hold the line as we await our orders to depart. The war is real, the battle is hot, and the time is short. And today, I'd like to call you to the fight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for another year, another day. We thank you for waking us up today. We thank you for the roof over our head, for the clothes on our back, for the food on the table. We thank you, God, that we have your praise in our mouth today. And Lord, not everybody can say that. And as we talked about last night on our New Year's Eve service, Lord, we want this year to be the year that we get something done for you that will last for all eternity. And we pray, Lord, and we hope Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We hope that this is going to be the year that you're going to come back and get us in the clouds, God. And Lord, as a church family, we don't take any of this for granted. This ministry, these Bible studies, these worship services, the podcasts that we do, our NTEB church family. Father God, I am just so glad and so grateful for these people and for this time. And Lord, you keep expanding our borders and enlarging our coasts. And we're people listen to these programs in 140 different countries. And we're grateful today, God, and we are so glad to be saved and serving you. And Lord, we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. 2023 is here. What type of year is it going to be? What will you get done for the Lord? Welcome to church.
It's time for us to face the fact that for decades we've ruined our name. Just look around us. It's easy to see that we share the blame. It's on you.
Each of us are hurting, but we have all been called to carry the message to this human race. Our message is love, our anthem is grace. It's time we remembered who we are.
This is the church.
If you want.
And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You and I are a privileged generation. We are the generation that is standing on the cusp of eternity, waiting to hear the words come up hither. And like no other year before us, I believe that 2023 is going to be a year that is going to be absolutely, cataclysmically unbelievable on many, many different levels. But for you and I that are saved, we have our eye on the prize, and our prize is Jesus Christ.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gates, I cried, Holy. The angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion. I saw. Then I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. I bow my gates of that city. I talked with Mark, sat down with Timothy, but I said, Timothy, I want to see Jesus.
In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read the last thing that the Apostle Paul would ever write. 2 Timothy 4, 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. The Apostle Paul, in the last thing, the last piece of scripture he would ever write, he turns to his son Timothy and he tells him to hold the line. He tells him to preach the word. And Paul says that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Paul is talking to saved people. He's not talking about lost people. He is talking about church people. And one of the things that the Apostle Paul did is he held the line. And at the end of his life, he passed the torch to Timothy and told Timothy to hold the line. Today, after our prayer time, I want to bring you a message on the importance of holding the line in these last days before the rapture of the church. You and I who are saved, we have a bright future and we're looking expectantly towards that blessed hope. But we leave behind a fallen, lost world. And some of those people will be your brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and mothers and fathers and sons and daughters. And while we wait, we are called to hold the line, to get something done while there's still time.
Despised and rejected, buried alive. joyful we adore you, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before you, opening to the sun above. Sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Joyful, joyful, we adore you. Hearts unfold like flowers before you. Joyful, joyful, we adore you.
Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we pray for lost souls. We pray for Sarah and Eric and Becky Jacobs and Greg and Melissa Price and Glenn Clark, members of Jeanette's family and Trevor, and members of Lori's family and members of my family. We pray for Jesse and his mom and Rachel's dad, Ralph, the Bolton family, for Colby Bohan. Dina Kruger is praying salvation for her son, Jordan. David Peck, he needs to get saved. Susan Weirs Bickey is praying for her family. Kentucky Jeffrey is praying for his family. Jeanette and Bob from Wisconsin, they're praying for their family. Connie has three unsaved kids. Joshua Gaskins is praying for friends Stephanie and Michael and for Uncle Steve. Brandy and Rita, they're all praying for their family's salvation. Ron needs to get saved. Spray of Sunshine has three sons, Daniel, Patrick, and Brian. Shannon is praying for Lori W. and Brian M. Jan Lacker is praying for son David. Barbara is praying for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Chandel. Nicole Zimmer is praying salvation for her best friends and her family. Cheyenne is praying for Barry K., Terry C., Alan G., Melody, Nick, Rick, and Beth. Karen is praying for children and grandchildren to get saved. Barbara is praying for son Jody. Mark Sherlock is praying for Savannah and her mom Stephanie. Werner Bukes is praying for Bob and Abby. Nancy is praying for Brandon and Michelle. Jill is praying for her husband Jerome and son and daughter. Kathy Hughes' son for salvation. Haley is praying for her friend Zane to get saved. Lulu asking prayers for unsaved family members. Miles and his family need to get saved. The Giacomino family. A lot of people in that family need to get saved. Dennis, Michelle, Lorenzo, Roman, Gianna, Jessica, Sophia, Justin, Blondie, Giovanni, Luca, Dominic, Deb, Maurice, Courtney, Josh, Gabe, Haley, Emma, Amy, Rochelle, Dan, Evie, Lincoln, Felicia, Ethan, Bob, Stacy, Lauren, Andrew, and Karen. That is a boatload of people in one family who need to get saved. Dawn D is praying for David Paul Caulfield, praying for his father, Fred, and his sister, Susan, and his brother-in-law, Frank. Patrick is praying for Jack and Aaron. Chelsea B is praying for her ex-husband, his parents, his sister, and her husband. Stacy Bunton is praying for her husband to get saved. Adam is praying for his wife, Shayna. Lori B for salvation. Shira McPherson is praying for son Scott and daughter Nicole. Lori Ann is praying for her grandfather, Irvin. Cheryl and Mark Fennell need to get saved. Kevin Thompson is praying for family members. Steve Graves, Elga, they need salvation. Rob is praying for his three children, Max, Olivia, and Mikey. Phyllis T is praying for her husband. Summer Robbins is praying for her dad. Todd Broom is praying for Thad to get saved. Marie's friends, family, Ashley, Dayton, Alyssa, Kyle, Brandon, Grace, Micah, and Macy. Adam and Katie are praying for parents, sisters, brother-in-laws, nieces, and nephews. Gary Tatterson is praying for his parents, his brother, and cousin. Joe Russiello is praying for his mother, sister, granddaughter, and in-laws. Ellen is praying for her grandsons, Braden and Logan. His Grace is praying for Rob, Summer, Sue and Mike, Carl, Jason, Rachel, and Jason and Kerry. Lola's son William and his son, Lola's son William and his wife, Lindsay, need to get saved. Hannah's mom, Bruce Bridges, is praying for Elena and Milena. Anja is praying for family members. Dave Evans is praying for his friend Taylor, an atheist. Viviana is praying for her brother Javier Reyes. Scott Thaler needs to be saved. Adam and Katie are praying for Jason, Eddie, and Brian. Loretta Oates is praying for her sons Kenny and Matthew. Jane is asking for salvation prayers for her son Troy. Julie Lynn is praying for Katie Ann. Chona is praying for family members. Chuck Edgerton, family members. Samantha praying for Beth. Deborah Hare praying for unsaved family members. Rita praying for unsaved Catholic family members. Pope Benedict just died yesterday. And I saw this 90-second clip of Pope Francis praying in Italian that the soul of Benedict would be brought to God through the Virgin Mary. And it's sad to think about, but there are millions and millions of people who are trusting their eternity to a person that has no ability to save their soul, and that is the Virgin Mary. If you're a Roman Catholic today, you need to cry out to Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can save you, and he needs no help from anybody to do that job. Lisa is praying for salvation for her father, John. Teresa, unsaved family members. Annabelle for his kids. Deborah Milton for son, Billy. Hap Nightingale for sons, Jimmy and Zach. Trisha is praying for her co-workers. Colonial Man is praying for Don Huff, Claire, and Virginia. Norman Merkel is praying for daughter Kara, granddaughter Ava, son-in-law Stephen, and for his kid's mother Lynette. Little Toe is praying for Trevin. Henrik Larson is praying for parents, sister, her spouse, and his aunt. Roz is praying for lost family members. Brian needs to get saved. Andrew Whittington. Marisol Barcina is praying for unsaved Catholic family members. Rapture 57, unsaved family members. Gail is praying for Jim. Shirley Meador for her brother and his wife. Eric Brian Huey is praying for his parents, Anna and Norillo, and as well as other family members. Tony and his son Cole need to get saved. Kenny B is praying for unsaved family members. Rachel is praying for unsaved family members. Sandra C, Catholic family members. Marky Mark is praying for unsaved relatives and neighbors. Regina Danner is praying for Kelly, Chris, Cisco, Richard, Wayne, John, Sandra, Tamara, Hazel, and Jimmy. Angela's mom, Rosemary, for salvation. Carol from Georgia is praying for her sister, cousins, and Aunt Joey. The Breda family for salvation up in Canada. Rachel Adams is praying for Kim, Jesse, Angelina, Kerry, Mike, Alyssa, and Stan. Ashley for salvation and to overcome addiction. Heart to Hurt is praying for Dr. Warner and his family. Mark would like salvation prayers for his sons, Michael, Matthew, Mason, and daughter Michaela. Mitch is praying for daughters Rachel and Hannah and their husbands. The mailman at the bookstore, his name is Joey, and we're praying for his salvation. Regina is praying for Kelly, Chris, and Cisco. Jericho would like salvation prayers for family. Brenda's husband Paul needs to get saved. Ramona Hayes is praying for daughter Kimberly, grandson William and his family, Jason and his family, David and his family, and Amanda and her family. Kenny is praying for friends and family. Amanda Astern in the chat room. She's praying for Melanie and Payden. Jericho would like prayers for his three older brothers and their families. We're praying for the Muto family. Steph is praying for Michael. Terry has unsaved family members. Xavier is praying for his mother, Reyes, wife Salma, daughters Clara and Lulu, and family members Ida, Karim, Terrence, Joan, Melissa, Paula, Jorge, Leticia, Christina, Sophia, Alan, Veronica, Florence. Maria Silva is praying for her Jehovah's Witness family in Venezuela. Donna Lynn's kids, Shannon, Todd, Kaylin, and Jake, need to get saved. Kevin Swift is battling a rare blood cancer. Harmon's son Michael is battling pancreatic cancer. Catherine B. has chronic health challenges, and we're lifting her up. Pam is battling glaucoma. Katrina has breast cancer. Dave Evans praying for Diane with lymph node cancer, and she needs to get saved. Chloe's dad has leukemia. Roz needs a healing from asthma and scoliosis. Annetta needs a complete healing from a stroke. Natalie's husband, Ken, needs prayer for healing from esophageal cancer. Roz is praying for daughter-in-law with stage 3 cervical cancer. Bonnie is praying for Ariel Roberts with a brain tumor. Clayton Perry is receiving ongoing cancer treatments, and we're praying for him. Robert Wiley with ALS disease. Dina's mom, Marcy, needs a healing from colon cancer. Chelsea B is asking prayers for a little 6-year-old Camilla who has neuroblastoma. Kathy Kelly would like prayers for sister-in-law Donia, who has non-alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver. Rob Beatty's colon cancer has come back. I found out yesterday on his Facebook page. He says he has crossed from stage 3 to stage 4. And that is, he's taking it well, but that is a very serious situation. Please lift up Brother Rob in your prayers as he is battling with stage 4 colon cancer. Patty Rogalski, my husband has had cancer treatments and shots in the stomach, and he has a lot of pain. I think this is an old update, so forgive me for that. But just continue to pray for Patty Rogalski's husband. I'm just going to remove that from the list, and if Patty wants to give us an update, we'll put that back on. Jeanette says, please pray for my caregiver whose mom has stage 4 cancer. Dana Bragdon having heart issues, and also Mike Bragdon has been having an abscess tooth problem, and it was really kind of intense over the holidays. So please keep Dana and Mike Bragdon in your prayers. Steph is praying for her husband, Andy. Angela for husband, Jeff. Bianca for Derek. Nightwatch Autist. Jan Lacker. These are all marriages that we're praying for. Erad is praying for Brother Morris and his sister in Uganda for their marriage. Kathy Giacomino, these family members need to get on fire for God. I hope they listen to the sermon today because that's what we're talking about. Please pray for Tammy, Pedro, Parker, Caden, Stephanie, Steve, Owen, and Ian. Lori Cordes would like prayers for Kevin, who's in a wheelchair. Chona's mom, Erlinda, low potassium. Aunt Christina had a stroke. And her father is battling an illness. Penny is asking prayers for the early stages of dementia. Feely is praying for her children to get on fire for God. Marie Shiroki, we're praying for her friend Jackie in a wheelchair. And that's an old prayer request, but we're going to pray for her anyway. Brooke Kettlecamp has ongoing special needs. Carrie is asking prayers for her husband Jerry with possible dementia. Jackie Heyman would like us to pray that she can get back custody of her son. Donna is asking prayer for Amanda and Mark and baby Madison, who was born at 29 weeks. James Pickett is in need of prayer. He had COVID. He has long COVID. He needs the Lord to order and reorder a number of things in his life. And we're lifting up James Pickett in prayer. Brenda would like prayers for Paul, Daniel, and Bunny. Kate is asking prayers concerning her housing situation, and she has an unspoken prayer as well. Please remember our overseas pastors in the Philippines, Pastors John Ree, Danny, and Arnell. In Vietnam, Pastor Fojan. In Turkey, we're lifting up Luann, who is an American missionary from Sarasota. In India, Pastor David Mark. In Ireland, Stephen McCarroll with the Gospel Bus Ministry. Please remember our free Bible and gospel tract program. Erad Bairu Mumishu in Uganda, and we're praying for his ministry of Good Child Missions. Xavier would like prayers as he distributes multiple language tracts to 3 cities in Spain, Zaragoza, Valencia, and Turvel, and to the jail in Turvel. Please remember our street preachers, Kentucky Jeffrey in Ohio, Kyle and Reagan in Baton Rouge. Up in Canada, we have Werner Bukes, Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Adrian Breda, Greg Scott, Jeffrey Sapasinek. In Australia, we have Henry Biggs and Jennifer Thompson. We have Marie in Philadelphia. Joseph Russiello in Eagle Pass. Mike Avram is a trucker who leaves Bibles at truck stops. Mia is praying for street preacher Jay. And Justin, who is Nightwatch Autist in the chat room, is asking prayer for him and his friend Tom Fennessy for their street ministry up in Canada. Jeanette says, please pray for my daughter and her family. Bitterness towards me and telling towards me for telling her that her kids need salvation. Aunt Nancy, I have friends all around me that are sick and dying. It's overwhelming. And I think we're going to see a lot of that in 2023. So please pray for Aunt Nancy. Herb says, please join us in praising God for the miraculous healing progress from my dad since his medical emergency in mid-October. God has miraculously intervened again and again, pulling my dad through crisis after crisis too numerous to mention. So we praise God for how he is working in Herb's family with his dad. Rachel K., I ended up at the emergency room with a friend on Christmas Eve. Everything turned out to be fine. We handed out some gospel tracts. Amen. So pray for the people that they gave the tracts to. Cephas, please bless this ministry to a greater degree. And he prays for God to give me a holy unction and help me to minister Jesus to the lives of all the people at Now the End Begins. And he says, 1 million Bibles or bust. Amen. He also says, please add my wife, Mandy, for healing of fibroid cyst. Jericho says, please pray for our grandchildren being held in an ungodly foster family. Berta Crab, praying for our daughter's family to feel the need to get on fire for the Lord. I also want to add the Lapinia family. And the Lord knows the need there, but please remember the Lapinia family in your prayers. CJ, please pray for salvation to everybody who receives free Bibles. And last night on the program, we talked about 104,152 free Bibles, New Testaments, and scripture portions that have gone out. And CJ is asking that we pray for the salvation of those people. Erad Bursch says, we were able to make the children's Christmas dinner and we fed 4,000 children. We gave out 100 King James Bibles and free clothes. And he is just rejoicing in what God is enabling him to get done in Uganda with his ministry, the Good Child Missions. And for those of you that don't know, Erad Bursch, he is a longtime NTEB-er, and he started tuning in about 5 years ago, got on fire for God, went from being a lukewarm Laodicean to a on-fire Bible believer, and now God is using him in Uganda, his native country, to get lots of things done for him. And Now the End Begins is partnering with Good Child Missions. And every Sunday, we help to feed 1,100 children with a cup of porridge. So please continue to pray for Erad Bursch. That's his English name. His Ugandan name is Bairu Mumishu. And it took me about 6 months to be able to pronounce that, and I like to use it whenever I can. But please pray for Erad. Also, Bob Lieb. Bob Lieb says that his heart is only functioning at 10% capacity. And we pray for our brother Bob that God would give him a healing touch. Bill Grady's son, Daniel, was killed in a car wreck a couple of days ago, right before New Year's Eve. Please remember the Grady family in your prayers. Please remember Marie Comfort in your prayers. She sent me a text message this morning, and she said, please pray for me. And we are absolutely happy to do that. Annabelle, please pray for my wife, Vilma, recovering from surgery. Jill says, please pray for me with a vision to reach my community with the gospel. I am thinking about free food and water near the recycling center and handing out gospel tracts. Small town with more and more homeless. And we will be happy to send you a case of Bibles as we pray about the Lord using you in your town to get that work done. And we praise the Lord for that, sister. I'm so glad that God has given us godly men and saintly women to get something done and to join hands together across America and around the world to get something done in these last days. And I get excited when I see men getting on fire for God, and I get excited when I see women getting on fire for God. And you know, when you do that, I think it was Martin Luther or what? No, it was John Wesley. It was John Wesley who said, if you want to get other people on fire for God, you set yourself on fire so that they can watch you burn for the Lord. And lead by example. We talked about the biblical gift of exhortation from Romans chapter 12. And I'm telling you, you need to pray about that gift of exhortation, and that is something that can really, really get something done for the Lord when you start to encourage your brothers and sisters, when you start to lead by example, when you start to exhort saved people that God puts into your life, and watching them get on fire is one of the greatest joys of my life. Erad Bursch says, please pray a praise report. Brother Maurice and Sister Gift, their wedding happened on December 17th. They are now happily married. Amen. Aunt Nancy says, please continue to pray for me and this ministry and keep a hedge of protection about everything that God has called us to do. And we absolutely, there's no question about it, we absolutely need your prayers, and we thank you very, very much for that. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and these people who need to get saved, Lord, we ask you to step in and get something done. We thank you. We ask you to work and move, Lord, as only you can. And for the people who need a healing, we ask you to heal. For people who need restoration, we ask you to restore. And Father God, we just thank you and praise you. Standing firm in the chat room, her name is Corrine, and she has a praise report. She says, on October 3rd, I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. And my ejection fraction was only at 35%. And then she said that she began to pray and ask the Lord to step in and do something. And a number of weeks later, that number went from 35% to 59.5%. And what an amazing praise report that is. And she wrote to me the other day. She said, the ejection fraction of my heart output went from 35 to 59.5%. The Lord healed me and answered prayer. I have been over the moon about it and telling everybody that I see. What a great witnessing tool for me right now. I just had to share this with you and share the complete love and mercy of Jesus with my heart issue. And so we rejoice with you. And this is why we have the prayer list. This is why we pray for each other. Cassandra says, please pray for the salvation of my adult sons, Nathan and Andrew. Father God, for all of these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we commit all of this to you and ask you to work and move as only you can. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. We ask you to wash us clean with your shed blood today and make us meet for your service, Lord. And we'll give you all the honor and glory and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll be right back after this with the message. Don't go anywhere. This is the first Sunday service of the new year, and it's important that we get started on the right foot. We'll be right back after this.
Sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? Sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? Do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar, your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. You can and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and
Heavenly Father, I come before you one more time and ask you to give me power to preach and teach your word today for your glory, for our good, and for the salvation of many. And we commit this preaching time to you, Lord, and ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Spray of Sunshine in the chat room. She just wrote, "My heart is aching, had an argument with my dad. Parents are living with my unsaved brother who tells them the Bible is not true and that I am misleading them." And she said, "I love them and only the Lord can fix that." Aunt Nancy says that she has five different people. She said, "I have lost two friends in the last 5 days and another is about to pass." You know, this is the times that we find ourselves living in right now. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And as you're turning to 2 Timothy chapter 4, today, if you're just tuning in, My message is on the importance of holding the line in the last days. We're living in the last days. We are living in the overlap of the closing moments of the church age that leads into the time of Jacob's trouble. And somewhere in the midst of our dispensation coming to a close and the next dispensation coming in on little cat feet, as the expression goes, somewhere in the midst of that, we are going to be removed in what the Bible calls the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And that is absolutely our blessed hope. In Song of Solomon chapter 2, starting in verse 8, Song of Solomon 2, starting in verse 8, the voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth at our wall, behind our wall. He looketh forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. And we look forward to that day. We talk about the rapture all the time. I don't know about you, but every night when I drive home, before I get in the car, I did this last night. I was driving home just a few minutes to midnight. I was not thinking about a New Year's Eve celebration. I was looking up at the moon, and it was shrouded in a bunch of clouds, and it really looked quite beautiful and mysterious. And I thought to myself, today could be the day. Tonight could be the night. And those of us who believe the book, we have a daily expectation that the Lord is going to come and get us any moment. But while we wait, we have a job to do. We have to hold the line. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I read this in the last half an hour. Paul said to Timothy, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. What is Paul saying to Timothy? I charge thee, Timothy. What does that mean? It means that Paul is giving Timothy his marching orders. Now, Timothy represents the church. The apostle Paul says that I have begotten thee through the gospel. And, where is that verse in, is it 2 Corinthians 11? Where is that verse about the, yeah, here it is, 2 Corinthians 11, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, would to God ye would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And the apostle Paul is our apostle. He's our leader. His doctrine is our doctrine. And Paul says that we may, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Timothy represents the church. The apostle Paul is the leader of the church, and he is talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy, and in every single chapter, he is encouraging him as a good soldier of Jesus Christ to hold the line while we wait for the rapture. And this is what we are called to do. So, with each passing day, now, I've been looking for that blessed hope. This year, on March 14th, it will be 32 years 32? Yes, it will be 32 years since I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And from time to time, people will say to me, don't you ever get tired of looking for that blessed hope? And I say, no, I don't. I've been waiting for that blessed hope for almost 32 years, but that simply means I am 32 years closer to that blessed hope, to that blessed event. And Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, be strong. And the things that I'm telling you, you've got to commit those things to faithful men. And those faithful men, their job is going to teach other people. In John chapter 21, Jesus turns to Peter. And this is where Peter is getting redeemed. He's coming back into the fold after his betrayal. And in John 21:15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. And Peter was given a commission. He was told to hold the line. Now, when you get to Acts chapter 1, Peter gets to hold the line for 7 short chapters. He had no idea that the dispensation was going to change. I don't think Peter had any idea that in Acts chapter 7, while the Holy Ghost was preaching through Stephen, that the Jews would run on him with one accord and gnash on him with their teeth and murder Stephen for preaching the gospel truth. I don't think Peter had any inkling at all that that was going to happen. And he certainly didn't have any inkling that the number one enemy of the Christian church, who was Saul, who the Bible says in Acts chapter 9 was breathing out threatenings. I don't think Peter had any idea that in just 9 chapters, after he gets this great commission from Jesus Christ, that he was going to have to sit back down and there was going to be a big change and there was going to be a new leader and there was going to be new doctrine. Peter was told to hold the line in John chapter 21. And in Acts chapter 1, they ask him, Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And what did Jesus say? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Are you starting to see what I'm talking about? Throughout the last 2,000 years, God has commissioned men and women who believe the gospel. Paul says that you may teach others also and raise up faithful men, and they will go out and teach other people. This is what we are called to do. We are called to hold the line. Now, I had told you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul gives him a charge. Timothy is Paul's son in the faith. Paul is the leader of the church. And Paul says that, I charge thee therefore before God to preach the word. And he tells Timothy to be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know, Charles Spurgeon said this. In the closing moments of the 19th century, Charles Spurgeon said, a time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. We have reached that age. We have gone past that age. We live in a day and age where the vast majority of Christians don't even know what the gospel is. Where the vast majority of Christians have not heard old-fashioned Bible preaching. You know, when I had the opportunity to go down to the St. Lucie jail and I preached just an old-fashioned, old-school, hardcore gospel message, and 20 men stood up and prayed to get saved at that altar. And I was told later that they hadn't heard the gospel in a long time. Evidently, there's been a charismatic sweep going through that area. And one of the things that you find when you have a sweeping movement of the charismatic church, gospel goes right out the window. And this is why Paul is charging Timothy, and he is warning Timothy. He said, preach the word. He didn't say preach your feelings, preach your emotions. Preach the word, he said, because the time is going to come when the people will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And Paul says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So that's the introduction to my message today. My message won't be long, but I want to speak to you just for a few moments today about the importance of holding the line. We are called to be soldiers. We have been commissioned in the army of Jesus Christ. Have you ever looked at Revelation chapter 19? Turn to Revelation chapter 19 for just a moment. Let's turn to everybody's favorite part of Revelation 19. Let's look at verses 7 through 9. Revelation 19, 7 through 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. That's us at the judgment seat of Christ. And to her, the bride, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I want you to understand that in the context of this passage, the marriage supper of the Lamb, immediately after that marriage ceremony, Jesus is going to mount up on a horse and he's going to have his war clothes on. Revelation 19:13 says, and he was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And look at that next verse. Revelation 19:14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, John just gave you a very important clue as to who that army is. John says that there is an army. On the day that Jesus gets married to his bride, there is an army. And that army is wearing a uniform of fine linen, white and clean. Verse 8 says, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, when you put Revelation 19:8 together with Revelation 19:14, you see very, very quickly and clearly that we, the bride and body of Christ, we are that army that mount up on horses to go into battle. This is why Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." Are you starting to see where I'm going with this? Are you starting to see what my message is about? Why do we have a free Bible program? Can't the Gideons just do that? Can't other ministries do that? No, they can't. And the reason why, it's because God has raised us up to accomplish this task, to do this job. Do you realize that there's almost no ministry on the face of the earth that is handing out King James Bibles in their free Bible program? Now, the Gideons, they still print King James Bibles, and if you request them, they will send you King James Bibles, but 90% of the Bibles that they send out are NIV, ESV. Do you realize what a unique ministry that God has given us to not just hand out 104,152 Bibles, but we did that with King James Bibles? Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, "Where the word of a king is, there is power." And Paul says that we are soldiers. The same guy, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the same guy that tells us to be looking for the rapture is the same guy that tells us that we are soldiers in an end times army fighting an end times battle. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 15, Paul says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And then look at verse 17. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." 1 Thessalonians 4:17 does not necessarily say that Paul believes he's going to be raptured out. Now, why would I say that when the vast majority of people who preach and teach on this verse preach and teach that Paul was waiting for the rapture? Well, let me ask you a question. Why would Paul be waiting for the rapture if he knew in 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered." Offered where? On the chopping block. And he says, "And the time of my departure is at hand." So I submit to you that the Apostle Paul was not waiting for the rapture. The Apostle Paul knew that he was never going to see the rapture. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, he says that those of us which are alive and those of us which live long enough to see that day shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Apostle Paul knew he wasn't going to go in the rapture, but the Apostle Paul knew that the day was coming at some point during the church age where the Lord was going to descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and he was going to pull up the body of Christ that was alive and remained on the earth. Do you realize that we are 2,000 years into the future from when Paul said, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds"? Do you realize that time is almost up? So, when you put all of these things together, the Apostle Paul gave us our doctrine. He is the one that tells us that we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. He is the one that tells us to preach the word and to be instant in season, out of season, against the coming apostasy, against the coming Laodicean lukewarmness. And he is also the same guy that says, whichever group of you are alive and remain, you are going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So here we are, 2023, and we are on the cusp of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Now, I want to ask you a question. I don't know when the rapture is. If you're waiting for me to set a date, I'm going to disappoint you because I'm not going to set a date. But I will say this. I will say this. If the rapture was this year, are you satisfied with your participation in the army of the Lord? Are you satisfied that you gave enough of your gifts and talents for the Lord's purpose? Last night we talked about how God has given everybody who is born again a gift, and most of us have multiple gifts, but we don't use them and we don't exercise them. And why don't we do that? Because maybe our estimation of who the Lord is not high enough. Maybe we need to rethink who it is that we serve. And who is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And is he worthy of our time and our gifts and our resources and our energy? Aunt Nancy is asking, have you ever wondered why churches today don't preach about the rapture or the time of Jacob's trouble? That's exactly right. The vast majority of churches, even Baptist churches, have stopped preaching Bible doctrine. This is what Paul was telling Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. He didn't say they wouldn't believe it. He said they wouldn't want it. And we live in a day and age where the Christian church does not want sound doctrine. And so here we have the ministry of Now the End Begins. And God tells me in 2018, why don't you start handing out some free Bibles? And I'm not going to go into the whole story. I told it last night. But I started handing out free Bibles in 2018, and that continued in 2019. I handed out more in 2019 than I did in 2018. And then in 2020, it really, with everything that was going on, it really went through the roof. And then in 2021, we started keeping count, and we handed out 11,411 Bibles. And I'll never forget the day that I got a check in the mail from Bill in Maryland, and they said, this is for the free Bible program. And I'm like, what free Bible program? We don't have a free Bible program. But God knew that we had a free Bible program. God was building that program, the billboard program, the free gospel track program. You know, last night we talked about the 104,152 free Bibles and New Testaments that we gave out. We didn't talk about the tens of thousands of gospel tracts that we gave out completely for free. Do you realize that even though we live in the closing moments of the church age, and it is the Laodicean church age, turn to Revelation chapter 3. Turn to Revelation chapter 3 and look at verses 20 and 21. Revelation chapter 3, 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, and I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Jesus knocked on the door and said, 14 years ago, said to me, would you start now the end begins? I said, yes, Lord, I'll do that. 2018, would you hand out free Bibles? Yes, Lord, I'll do that. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. And you and I together have been holding the line. We talk about this ministry that it's the front lines of the end times. Over at Suncoast Baptist, Pastor Joel Tillis, whenever he introduces me, either on a podcast or in front of his church, he always says that now the end begins are the special forces, and we're called in for a very specific part of the battle. And I appreciate that. I appreciate his friendship and his willingness to stand side by side with us in this battle. But we really are like the special forces that God calls in to get specific jobs done. And Jesus said, I'm standing at the door of the Laodicean church. You don't have to be lukewarm if you don't want to be. And Jesus is knocking at the door, and all that you and I have to do is we have to open that door and say, yes, Lord, I report for duty. What would you like me to do? And so over the last 14 years, God has assembled, first it was dozens of people, then it went into the hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands. Last year we celebrated 100 million visits to Now the End Begins. And there are millions of us in this ministry, and there are tens of thousands of us who are actively engaged in putting up gospel billboards and sending out free Bibles and free gospel tracts and doing all the things that God has called us to do. And as we wait for the rapture in 2023, I'm not predicting, I'm not setting a date, but I am telling you that this year, if you remember back in 2019, in the closing number of programs that we did in December of 2019, I said, I have a feeling about 2020. It feels like it's going to be a year of prophecy. I have that same feeling about 2023. I don't know what the year holds. I would love to be able to predict something really cool and watch it come to pass. But I'm not a prophet. I'm not an apostle. I don't have that ability to do that. But I'll tell you something. 2023 feels like it's going to be a big one. Even more so than 2021 or 2022. And I believe that God is calling us to get ready, to hold the line, to continue doing what we're doing. It's not complicated. We preach the gospel. We hand out gospel tracts. We hand out Bibles. We invite lost people to get saved. We invite saved people to get on fire for God. Does that sound complicated? You don't have to be a Greek or Hebrew scholar to do that. You don't have to have an intimate knowledge of Strong's Concordance. You don't have to know all the mysteries to do those things. And that's what soldiers are called to do. They are called to hold the line And in 2023, that's what we are going to endeavor to do. In just a few moments, we're going to close in prayer. But what we are going to endeavor to do in 2023 is we are going to hold the line, and we're going to ramp up the free Bible program. We're going to ramp up the billboard program. We're going to ramp up the free gospel track program, Bibles Behind Bars. And we are going to maintain what it is that God has called us to do. And we're going to hold the line until we hear the words, "Come up hither." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. God, I thank you for all these tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people who come into Now the End Begins, and they get on fire for you. They want to get something done. And Lord, give us the ability to hold the line in 2023, to be faithful with the resources you give us, to be faithful with the gifts and talents that you give us, and to give them all back to you for your glory, Lord. Give us power in 2023 to continue to see lost people coming to a saving knowledge of you, and to continue to see saved people who are lukewarm get on fire for you. And Lord, we ask you to give us the ability to hold that line against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to get something done for you while we wait for your Son from heaven. And Lord, I have a feeling. I have a feeling that this is going to be one crazy, off-the-charts year. And I want us, Father God, to remain true and faithful to the calling that you have given us. I want us to remain true and faithful to the book, that blessed book, that King James 1611 authorized version, Holy Bible. And Lord, we have the word of a king, and we're going to stand on that word, and we're going to ask you to give us power to preach and teach the old-fashioned gospel and stick with the old-fashioned songs and walk in the old paths and walk in the old ways. And Lord, help us to do battle on the front lines of the end times, and give us everything that we need to get the job done. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, everybody. We have set the tone between last night and today. This is what we are going to do as a church family. This is what we are going to do as the ministry of Now the End Begins. We are going to hold the line. We're going to stick by the stuff. We're going to stand on the old book. We're going to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, died, and buried, and risen again on the third day according to the scriptures. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. No Bible study tonight. We had it last night. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow, noon Eastern time. And we have a wild podcast for you tomorrow. So tune in, noon Eastern time, and we're going to have our very first podcast of 2023. Happy New Year, everybody, and to the fight!
Disappointed? Are you desperate for hell? You know what it's like to be tired and only a shell of yourself. Will you start to believe you don't have what it takes? 'Cause it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. Don't forget what lies ahead. Almost hope, brother, it won't be long. Soon all your burdens will be gone. With all your strength, sister, run wild, run free. Hold up your head. Oh,
mistake. There's still more to come when our flesh and our bone are no longer between where we are right now and where we're meant to be. We're